Hebrews chapter number 1, and the title of the message this morning is Christmas Changed Communication. Christmas Changed Communication. In other words, God's communication with us changed at Christmas. Christmas changed that aspect of God's working with us. We'll see that from Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter 1, we're just going to look at the first two verses. So the Bible tells us there, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Let's look at verse 3 as well. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Again, the title of the message is Christmas Changed Communication. I want to talk to you this morning about the fact that one of the greatest gifts that God gave to us at that first Christmas, if that's an appropriate way to term the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the very greatest gifts that he gave us is that he chose to begin to speak to us in a consistent way, in a way that whenever we wanted to hear from him, he was there and available. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that God has changed, because God is immutable. He never changes. It's okay to say amen there, all right, because he never changes. So it's not that God changed, but oftentimes we read in God's word that at a certain time, he changed something about his working with mankind. And a great change happened at that birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that a lot of times I think we overlook. We don't realize what a blessing it is that we have this ability now, and we take it for granted because it's what we've always known as Christians. It would be similar to a young person who has grown up in the age in which we are in, not understanding the amazing revolution that the cell phone has been for good and for bad in society. And what a change it is that at any time we can connect with people, listen, around the world for basically pennies, and at any time in any place. That's hard for someone to comprehend how we could ever live without that. If we were to go back not that far, we would live without it. What a great change has taken place. Well, much more than that, a great change took place in God's communication with mankind at the birth of Jesus. And I want to share that thought with you this morning, this message, as we look at Hebrews chapter number 1. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into the message. Father, I thank you for the wonderful opportunity to stand behind this pulpit, Lord, and to proclaim your word. I thank you, Lord, for Christmas. I thank you, Lord, that it is the time that we celebrate the fact that you gave your Son for us. Lord, would you help us today, really all through the season, to remember that this season is not about family and friends or festivities. It's not about food, and it's not about gift giving and other things like that, Lord, but rather it is about you and your great sacrifice for us, that our Lord Jesus Christ was born to die that we might live. Lord, I pray that this morning you would allow the message to be such that it would cause your people to understand what you've done for them, and that they would give you glory, that we would give you glory for it. And I ask that you would arrest our attention this morning. Give us a heart to listen and ears to hear, in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas changed communication. Let's talk first of all about what the Scripture says. First, we should notice what the Scripture says about how God communicated in the past. How did God communicate in the past before Christmas with mankind? Well, in verse number 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The first thing I'm going to have you notice is that it mentions the word or the term that God spake in time past at sundry times. The word sundry is not a word that we use very often in our English language at this time, but it basically means several or diverse. It indicates an indefinite number. It would be very similar to the word several. If I told you I had several coins in my pocket, for instance, you would know that that means that I have more than one or two, but yet you wouldn't know exactly how many that means. We might each have a different idea, in fact, of what several means. If it means 10 or less, or if it means 7 or less, or maybe some would even go so high as a dozen or so, or there might be some argument or disagreement between what exactly several means, but we would all have a general idea that several means more than just one or two, and yet not too many. Well, the Bible says that God spake in time past to our fathers at sundry times. What that means is that God spoke to the world at different times. There was no one specific time frame when God was speaking before Christmas. It was at various or different, diverse times. But the word sundry also indicates that there were only a limited number of times. The Bible is telling us here that before that first Christmas, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, God did speak to mankind, but let me put it to you this way, it wasn't often. It was a rare occurrence that God spoke to mankind. In fact, the Bible makes this clear at one particular part. He lists what that is, or lists some specifics about that. And I want you to understand, we're going to turn, by the way, to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. So keep your place in Hebrews, but turn with me to 1 Samuel 3. And I don't want you to get an idea in your mind that as we look at 1 Samuel 3, this is an indication of every time throughout history before Christmas. This is about one specific time in 1 Samuel 3, but I think it's a great example of what we're talking about, that Hebrews tells us, the Bible tells us, that God in time past spake at sundry times. It's almost like the word several. There were a few, there was varied times, but it wasn't often, it wasn't many. 1 Samuel 3 bears that out specifically at that time. Notice what it says in verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Now please notice this phrase. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. In our King James Bible, when we see that word vision, for instance, in Proverbs it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The idea of vision in that point is hearing from God. God coming and through a prophet giving his people his word. That's the idea of vision, okay? So it says there was no open vision. It was not something where at any time someone could go. There was not a prophet who spoke for God at that moment in history. Now, later, Samuel would become a prophet like that. But at this point, he was a child, and he was not yet that prophet. And there was no open vision to the point where it is said the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And that doesn't just mean that everybody revered it, and everybody loved it, and everybody held it close. What it means is that it was valuable because it was rare. It was something that was not often heard. It was precious. And therefore, because of that, it was valuable. It was something that people, when they did hear it, it was an unusual thing. And friends, more times than not, that statement could be said about human history, that it was a precious thing to hear from the God of heaven. God spoke in time past at sundry times. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1 and notice again, not just does it say at sundry times, it says in diverse manners. Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The term in diverse manners means this, that God spoke to the world in varying ways. There was no one prescribed way for God to communicate with the world. If you and I were to go back before the birth of Christ, and someone were to ask you or me, I want to hear from God. How will I hear from God? How can I know what God wants from me? How can I know what God's desire is? How can I do this? You and I would have to point to several different ways because there were different, diverse manners that God spoke. Now, don't get me wrong, I do realize that before the birth of Christ, the Old Testament law was there and the prophets were there. And they were, and they continue to be Scripture. Okay, so don't get me wrong. But it's not as if that was the only way that God was speaking. because the prophetic book was not closed at that point. So, for instance, in the days of John the Baptist, he came and proclaimed the word of the Lord, and God was leading him to do that. He was part of that. You see, at that time, God spoke in diverse manners. Let me give you some examples of how God was speaking to the world in diverse manners before the birth of Christ. God communicated in what we believe was probably an audible voice. Now again, let me preface this statement with, this is my opinion, and you know how much Mike Weiss's opinion is worth, right? As my dad used to say, that and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. But that's not even true anymore. So that shows you how much lack of value there is in my opinion, right? Can't even buy you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. Listen, this is my opinion, though, that, for instance, when God spoke to Noah in Genesis, how did God speak to him and tell him to build the ark? How did that come? Was it in a vision or what? We don't exactly know, but we can imagine that perhaps God, through an audible voice, spoke to Noah. And again, we're reading into it a little bit. Maybe I'm wrong. It doesn't really matter, but God doesn't share with us the specifics, but we know that he spoke to Noah in some way that we're not familiar with, that God is not going to speak to you and me that way today. God spoke to them in diverse manners. By the way, that would be in Genesis chapter number 6, and we won't look at it today, but I would encourage you can look at that in Genesis 6 later on. Later on in the book of Genesis, in chapter 18, God showed up and communicated with Abraham in some kind of a bodily form. I would encourage you to read Genesis 18. What you'll find there is that some angels showed up to Abraham, and he recognized that they must have been from the Lord. He recognized something different about them because he wanted them to stay. And they told him that Sarah would have a child. I hope you remember that, right? She laughed. You remember that? And then later on, the angels that were with the Lord went on to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, or at least to view it so they could judge it with a righteous judgment. And the Bible tells us that Abraham stayed and communed with the Lord after the angels left. What did God look like? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Did he appear as a man? I don't really know. Again, the Bible doesn't tell us. But I would guess in my mind, just using human judgment and rationale, it was probably in some kind of a bodily form that he showed up there to Abraham. But it was different than what you and I get today when we're going to communicate with God and receive communication from God. We are reminded of the fact that in Exodus chapter 3, God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. I don't know of another time in history when God showed up in a burning bush. That was an unusual thing. That was a diverse manner. We cannot point to that and say, when God shows up and if he's going to reveal something to you, you'll find a burning bush. No, that's not the prescribed manner. That was an unusual thing. God did it one time. As far as we know, it'll never be done again in history. In the future. Maybe God will do it again sometime in the future, and he hasn't told us. Doesn't really matter. But we know that that's the only time in Scripture we see that. It was a diverse manner. We also know that in the book of Judges, chapter number 2, let's turn there. Here's a unique example, Judges chapter number 2. We've skipped through most of these. I've just been telling you about them. But in Judges chapter 2, this is one that stands out to me as I was thinking through this and meditating on how God communicated with his people before the birth of Christ. Judges chapter number 2. The Bible tells us, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you.'" Verse number 2 of Judges chapter 2. "And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept." Here's an instance where, because of the disobedience of God's people, when God wants to communicate to them, he does not send a prophet, but rather through an angel of the Lord, a messenger from God, again, some angelic being, I'm assuming he came in the form of a man. The only reason I assume that is in other parts in Scripture, we find angels showing up looking like men. So I'm assuming this would be no different, but I don't know for sure. But the angel of the Lord appears to them and communicates God's message from him to them. You see, in different ways at different times, but very rarely in the past, God communicated to his people through at sundry times and in diverse manners. But let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 1. And we have noticed already what God says about how he communicated with people in times past. But continuing now in Hebrews 1, let's look at how God communicated with people post-Christmas or post-birth of Christ. How did it change? Verse number 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You see, he no longer communicates with mankind at sundry times and in diverse manners. Let me say that again. At the birth of Christ, it all changed. God no longer speaks at sundry times and in diverse manners. And I know that you're probably like me, and you look at that and you say, yeah, that's nice. But I don't think we often realize the impact of what that means. That God no longer speaks at sundry times and in diverse manners. He now communicates in one specific, prescribed way. He now communicates to us, as it says in verse number 2, by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If God wants you and me to know something about him, he does it through one way, and that is through or by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever he wants us to know, whatever he wants us to know about him or about the world or about the future or about the present, he will do so by his Son. How does God communicate with us by his Son? First, we need to understand a couple of things. The first one would be this, that Jesus is the express image of the Father. We read already verse 3, but let's look at it again. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus Christ is the express image of the person of the Father. And that word express means the exact image. You see, I might come along and one of my sons recently, I think I may have mentioned this already in church, but this was back in the summer. I was outside and it was an evening where we were grilling out, and so I was out doing what every good red-blooded American man does. I was manning the grill, right? So that's what we do. And I was sitting outside and I was sitting in a plastic lawn chair, and I had kind of some very casual clothes on and an old cap, and it was just kind of my lazy clothes and all of that, and I was just sitting outside enjoying the summer. Remember what it was like when it was summer? Don't we miss that, right? Oh, it's going to get worse from here. Don't worry, folks, okay? But I was enjoying that summer evening and manning the grill, and one of my sons comes out and he says, Dad, you look just like your dad. And I looked down at myself sitting in my plastic lawn chair with my relaxed clothes on and my old hat, and I said, I do. And we kind of joke about that, right? Like, you're the spitting image of your father. But the truth of the matter is, folks, I'm not the spitting image of my father. I carry much of his likeness. There's a lot. There's mannerisms. There's the way I talk, the way I carry myself, a lot of the way I think. Certainly my outward appearance, maybe the clothes I wear, etc., the decisions I make are all influenced by my father, and there's a lot of that in me. But I'm not really, well, let me put it this way, I'm not the express image of my father. Because my DNA, although it carries his DNA, is unique to me. And my sons have their own unique DNA, though they might look like me and act like me, etc., right? But when we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he is the express image of the Father. It's not as if he is the son of the Father like Daniel and Caleb are my sons, and I'm Robert's son, and he was Leo's son, and he was Daniel's son. It's not like that. It is a whole nother level. Jesus Christ is the express image, the exact replica. If you want to know every single individual part and likeness of the Father, you can go to Jesus Christ and you can know exactly what the Father is like. Which, again, cannot be said of me and my sons and my father and grandfather, etc. But it can be said about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the express image of the Father. The other thing I would have you know is this. Turn with me to John 14 and verse 9. We'll be back to Hebrews, at least I plan to be. John 14 and verse number 9. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples in the upper room not long before he would be betrayed and crucified and rise again and then ascend later on into heaven. John 14, verse number 9. I hope you remember in verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse number 9, Jesus saith unto him, talking to Philip, have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus is not only the express image of the Father, but he is also so much that express image that when we have seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. That's the first thing we must understand. But secondly, when we want to understand how God can communicate to us by his Son, we have to understand the resources that we have been given to know Jesus Christ. Because you see, you and I have not seen Jesus Christ in a physical form. And I think, this is my opinion, okay? I think God did that on purpose, obviously, understatement of the year, right? He did that on purpose because if you and I saw the physical image, we saw the person, then we would be only focused on the outside. We'd be only focused on the flesh, like again, my son coming out and seeing me and saying, you look just like your dad. We would see the physical form and that's what we would focus on. But we have something even greater than that, than being able to see the physical flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is shown to us in John and chapter number, let's see here, let me find my place, John 15. I want to show you that we have two resources to know Jesus Christ. John chapter number 15, verse 26. Again, same time frame that from John 14, verse number 9, when Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. John 15, look at verse 26. In the same message to his disciples, Jesus says this, but when the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, right? When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. That's someone who is giving witness. And ye also shall bear witness, speaking of the apostles, because ye have been with me from the beginning. God gave us two witnesses as to who Jesus is. The first one would be the Holy Spirit of God. He lives within us. Whoever you are here, if you are a born-again believer, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible is very clear that at the moment of salvation, the Spirit of Christ came to live within you. You now have the Spirit of Christ. And one of the things that the Spirit of Christ does is he bears witness of Jesus Christ. You can know Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God that is within you, bearing witness of him. The second resource that you and I have to know Jesus Christ is the Word of God. In the passage that we just read, it was the fact that Jesus said, and ye also shall be witnesses of me. Who is he speaking to? The apostles. And as we have been told in, I believe it's the book of Ephesians, the apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said that the church or the foundation that we are on is built upon the apostles and prophets. that we are based in the testimony of the Word of God, that God inspired this book and the testimony of the apostles. When we read, for instance, as Brother Taylor was reading to us, the Luke chapter number 2, that longer passage of Scripture that tells us about the birth of Christ, that was inspired by God. We can stand upon that Word and know this is Jesus Christ, because we have the witness of the apostles. Not only that, but we have their testimony in the epistles that were written at different times to different churches, and all of those are inspired. We have the inspired Word of God. We have those two resources to know who Jesus is. And so now in these last days, when I want to hear from God, I have two resources. It's all by His Son, but it's the Spirit of God within me testifying through the Word of God. As I read it, as I meditate on it, as I study the Word of God, I can hear from God. And it's not necessarily that there's some spooky thing where a light shines down from heaven and shines on a certain verse and a word appears in a certain, you know, way, and now I know I've heard a special vision from God. All that charismatic stuff that they try to do with the Word of God, listen, I'll cast that all aside and just know this, that God wants to speak to you daily through His Word. Read it, you'll know Him. Read it, you'll learn about Him. Read it, you'll see His promises. Read it, you'll be comforted. Read it, you'll know what God expects of you. And the Spirit of God will give witness, and you can know God and hear from Him every day from His Word and His Spirit by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The other thing I would say, back to Hebrews chapter 1, where it says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners, and then in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Not only does He no longer communicate to us in diverse manners, but He no longer communicates to us every once in a while. Remember, in times past, it was at sundry times. It's no longer every once in a while. It's not, boy, it's been 400 years of silence like it was between Malachi and Matthew. It's not, oh, I wonder when we'll hear the Word of God again. It's precious in these days. There's no open vision. You and I will never have to say that. That it's no open vision and there's the Word of the Lord is precious. Listen, God is done speaking at sundry times. He now has spoken unto us by His Son. Anytime that you and I want, we can hear from God. It's in His Word and by His Spirit. And I don't know if you and I understand the depth of that change that was made that very first Christmas. That from that time on, God said, anytime you want to hear from me, I'm there. You don't have to go to the prophet Samuel. And if Samuel won't speak to you, be like Saul and say, well, I have nowhere else to go. I'm going to go to the witch at Endor. Do you remember that story? That'll never happen to you and me. Not if we're walking with God, not if we're humbly seeking His Word. That never has to happen. Anytime I want to hear from Him, it's here. Let me show you two passages of Scripture, and then we'll be done. We'll close the message today. Look with me, if you would, at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Christmas changed communication. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16. The Bible tells us here about Scripture. The word Scripture basically means the holy writings. That's how I would say it. That's my own definition. But it means the Old Testament. It means the New Testament. It means any God-inspired writing, which we have in the 66 books that make up our Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed it out. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration, and it is profitable for all these different things so that you and I can be perfect. And again, when you read that word perfect, please don't think without sin, you know, being what my older sister always thought she was. Okay, all right, don't think that, right? That's not what it means by perfect. What it means by perfect is there's nothing lacking. There's no part that you would need outside of the Scripture. God does not need to give you some other book. Let me say that again. God does not need to give you some other book. Sorry, Joseph Smith. Book of Mormon, not needed. No thank you, right? The Book of Enoch, sorry, not needed. Okay? God gave us exactly what we needed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God has given me everything I need so that I can be a complete and total Christian that I'm needed to be. And it's all right here. The Old Testament saints couldn't say that. There were things that they had to go through that there was some darkness about. And God spoke at sundry times and in diverse manners. Now, don't get me wrong, God gave them what they needed for the time. But it wasn't like what you and I have. Something changed that first Christmas. In these last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son. One more passage of Scripture, and that is John 14. John 14, verse 16. John 14, verse 16. Again, Jesus in the upper room, just hours before his betrayal. John 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. That word another means another like the one you currently have. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. And then notice what he says, that last phrase. I will come to you. That is in the context of the Spirit coming upon us, the Comforter. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. When God has spoken to us in these last days, it's by his Son. Listen, and his Son lives within me. I may not comprehend all how that could be, but I know it's true. You see, because the Spirit of God that lives within me is not just some secondhand member of the Trinity who's kind of does some work, but is not really that important. No. Don't think of the Holy Spirit that way. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. He is one with God, and he is God. So as the Spirit of God comes to live within me, it is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of Christ. Jesus Christ lives within me, and God has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, his very Son, the way he communicates to me. He didn't just put him in my pocket like a cell phone. He put him within me. And friends, that doesn't make me some kind of God, nor you some kind of God, that whatever we think and whatever we do is inspired. Far from it. But what it does mean is anytime I want to communicate with the God of heaven, he's there. Jesus said, I will come to you. All I have to do is open his word and pray to him and let him speak to me and encourage me or rebuke me or whatever it is that God wants to do. And friends, all of that changed with the birth of Christ. In these last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son. Now, have you been living in that reality? And do you realize what a great gift he gave you that very first Christmas? Are you seeking to know him, the God that has spoken to you? I heard a Christian program recently. It was just a Christian program. It wasn't a preacher or anything like that. But the statement was made to the people in the congregation who were not Christians. So it was almost a gospel presentation. The statement was made, God wants to know you intimately. Now that sounds good. But before you say amen, let me caution you a little bit. The statement's a little off. Again, the statement was, God wants to know you intimately. No. God wants you to know Him intimately. See, God already knows you, but He wants you to know Him. And that changed at Christmas. By His Son, He spoke. We don't have time to look at it, but John chapter number 1, verses 1 through 18, that's how John introduces his gospel. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light that lighteneth every man that comes into the world. Listen, God wants you to know Him. Do you know Him? And are you walking with Him? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the great gift that You gave us at Christmas. I thank You that You loved us enough that You want us to know You. And Lord, I don't know why we are not worthy to know You. Lord, we're not worthy to have anything to do with You. Lord, forgive us for ever thinking that we're doing You some great gift by coming to You. We know, Lord, that You do love us and You long for fellowship with Your creation. But at the same time, Lord, we know that You could exist and have existed for eternity past without us. Lord, we are the ones who are blessed to know You. Thank You for giving us that gift at Christmas. Help us to take advantage of it. Lord, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice that has yet to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, would You please prompt them to do that today? But Father, I pray for all of these who already are born again, Lord, that You'd help us to understand this great gift that we've been given and to take advantage of it, to walk with You, to know You, to remember that we have Your Spirit within us and we are to go to Your Word daily and pray to You daily, walk with You constantly. Help us to do that, I pray. Bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.